so that you'll know who and what you're voting for. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to me. I can't tell you who to vote for. Well, I could, but I'm not going to. Yeah. I won't tell you who to vote for or what to vote for, but I will tell you, vote Bible.
Yeah.
Vote Bible. Vote life.
Yeah.
Vote. So that's not hard. Whatever, you know, you can see that it has been written, you know, and then, but you'll want to know that, now I vote a certain party because they seem more biblical to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Y'all are laughing like, come on, Pastor. But so, you know, what you're going to have is that on that particular party, they're giving you things to vote about. So, well, and I know you're laughing, but we actually do have a couple of people who aren't of my persuasion. So I'm not going to go there. So, but, you vote the way God tells you. And here's why. It's your seed.
Yeah.
It's your seed. So I don't really particularly care about offending people. That's not what I'm going to base my life on, but I do also want to respect people. So, but, You'll see things that you might want to pray about, because there's a couple of people on here that I thought I would vote for that I might change. God might change my mind. So I just wanted to encourage you to vote, because if you vote, no matter what happens, you just voted yourself into Goshen. You'll be protected because you voted God's way. Okay. Praise the Lord. I voter guide, or for those of you in Burnett County, you can just go Burnett County and get one there, and then Llano County, what?
Texas scorecard, I think.
Texas scorecard. Anyway, so, well, when we're talking about political things, no, we're talking about voting.
Yeah.
We're talking about what's going to happen in your life and your children because of the way you vote. Yeah. So vote. What if you were the one vote that changed everything?
Yeah.
So don't sit back. Get out there and do it. You could be I'm not going to do it because my vote doesn't matter. It matters in the kingdom.
Yes, it sure does.
Matters in the kingdom.
Amen.
So, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Did he? What's he talking about? Change systems.
Right.
Change systems.
Yeah.
Because this kingdom of God system will get you what you want.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God system works for us. We enter into finances with the kingdom. We live our life with the kingdom. We have kingdom citizenship. We have American citizenship, or wherever you're from. But we also have this kingdom citizenship, and it matters.
Amen.
And it matters that you participate in it. When it comes to computers, there's two main kinds you can have. You can have a Mac or a PC. Mm-hmm. Now, we could probably take a vote here on which one is the most excellent, which is the superior type of unit. Uh-huh. And you would probably lean more one way. I actually use both. But I'm telling you that, so there usually is a superior unit. The kingdom of God is a superior unit.
Yeah.
It's much better than the world's way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Let's go to Exodus 14:13. And at any moment, the Holy Spirit might change our focus. So just be ready. Praise the Lord. And pray for your children, because I sent candy back there. All right, this is the story of Moses and Israel crossing the Red Sea. You know it?
Yes.
This is the most famous story of the Bible, according to the Jewish people. Okay, so they left Egypt. Pharaoh decides he's mad. He's going to chase them, right? So they're already murmuring, okay? But God had a plan. Now listen. If you don't get anything else I say tonight, I'm going to tell you something. They were murmuring. That's what we call complaining. Mm-hmm. Complaining means you're in unbelief.
Come on.
And if you're in unbelief, It's a lordship issue. Who is your Lord? Who is the head? Are you in within King Jesus and in that system? Are you worried and troubled and complaining because you're in the flesh system and the world system? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Well, yeah, that's a problem. If he's your Lord and you believe everything about him that you've learned here, then you know that he's going to provide. He's gonna make a way. Okay, Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." That's good. "And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." So keep your peace. Keep your peace, and God will fight for you. If you don't, he won't. You got to be lordship here. You're sold out. The Lord will fight for you. Big L-O-R-D. The whole system of God that he put into place, the big L-O-R-D is his system. So it's put into place. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" So just start, because the big tractor's coming. All right. "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." So here we see that Moses told them, stand still. He's actually saying, don't be troubled. Just get into peace right now, because God's going to help us. And then God says, don't cry to me. Just take out. Just start going. Go ahead and do it. So listen, Moses hadn't even said anything to him. He didn't even say anything. He's just like, But this is the thing about God and Moses. God picked up on Moses. Can he pick up on you, and can you pick up on him? Are you that close? Because if you'll get in close proximity to him, you're going to hear his voice. You're going to know what's going on. Amen. So Moses is already deeply engaged with God. So they're just like, you know how your honey or one of your close friends, you already know what they're going to say. You already know the next thing that's going to come out. You're that close to some people, and you just already know. That's how God and Moses were. They were like, yeah, I know where he's going. I know. All right. So you know the story. The sea parts. They walk over on dry ground, and the enemy is drowned behind them. I really like that. And so we could say then that they passed through an impassable pass, because it does not look at all like you could do that. There's just hardly any way that we've ever seen that happen. But it happened, and it's a true story, and people have tried to prove that it didn't, but we all know that the Bible is true. It did happen. So if you remember, about 10 to 14 days ago, God gave us a word, and he told us that we were going to pass through an impassable pass. We were going to get to another level. Things were going to change for us. And in fact, he said, he didn't just say us. He said the body of Christ, then America, and then the world would begin. Things would begin to shift, and there would begin to be openings, gaping holes where you could get through into new places. Amen? Yep. And so there's no doubt, and I believe even among the young people today, that this is a different world that we're in right now. There's been a shift ever since COVID, all the stuff, all the propaganda and everything, and it's been bad, and then the social media machine has lulled people into all kinds of silly thinking. And then they don't bother to find out the truth. But we're going to stay on the truth.
We are.
And the body of Christ is waking up to the truth. And our young people are not falling into this. They're staying in the truth. And they're going to know the truth. They're not going to go another way. And so our truth right here is just sitting in our laps. We have it. We have the truth. No matter what goes on, this kingdom covenant is going to be our truth, and it's going to work anywhere we are as long as we're in close proximity to it. Amen. So the fast that we're on, everybody doing okay on your fast? Okay. So This is perfectly timed and orchestrated. This is for such a time as this. This fast was totally orchestrated by God. This isn't, in case anyone's watching this and you haven't heard of this, there are many Christians in America and around the world right now that are fasting and praying just for to be able to hear God and pray and bring some change to the earth, right? And so I believe that in fasting and prayer, we're going to see breakthroughs. And I have to tell you that personally, I've already seen some breakthroughs. I've already heard some things. There's a clarity now. There's some things going on. It seems like the power is pushed up. I want to talk to you about that a little bit. And so we're halfway down. And so I don't know what you've chosen to do. I at first chose a couple of foods that I didn't want to do. That I wanted to give up, and then I decided it was too easy, so I added some other things, and then I added some things that I'm doing that I would not have done, and so it's turning out to be really good. I'm doing extra study time, extra reading time, doing some exercise stuff, and giving up some other types of food, but that'll be your business. But I just want to encourage you, now that we're halfway through, to focus a little bit further, because you're going to see some things now. You're going to see some shift if you'll pay attention. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of minister the fast to you, if you'll allow me to. Mm-hmm. And just say some things to you to make you know that you're on the right biblical path, okay? So fasting is very biblical. It's scriptural. And what you're doing is your way... absolutely your way of not letting anything control you. Not any substance. You're saying, no, you're not controlling me. You're not going to do it. It's considered a key part of entering into and maintaining a powerful spiritual dynamic walk with God. There's two words for fast in the Old Testament. One means to cover the mouth. That's interesting. The other means to humble oneself. Okay. Now in the New Testament, the word for fasting means not eating. The actual definition for fasting is to abstain from food, either partially or completely. And so we know the Daniel fast. That's kind of the attitude we took, is that you would not allow yourself the king sweets. Just, you know, for instance, I'm fasting sugar because I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. But, so that's one thing, and some of us really like bread, and so, but those are things that we're not eating right now. You want to know why? Because they're not the boss of me. That's why. They're not going to control my life. And so you say no to some things, and you need to say no to something that is not just easy to say no to. It's that pressure that changes you, that you're consistent when you're under some pressing. Like when you're sitting around and everybody else is eating it and you can't, that's your sustained pressure right there. You're saying, no, I said no. I'm considering the Lordship here. I'm considering who is God. So, when you perform a biblical fast, you voluntarily abstain from the food for a period of time, partially or completely for a spiritual purpose. It's for a spiritual purpose. So you what you do is you deny yourself something that is actually, I hate to say it like this, but an element of survival, which some of this stuff that we're doing is not an element of survival, but a lot of times people will do that. Remember what Daniel did? The king wanted to feed him all of their rich foods. Have you all read Daniel? And he said, well, if it's okay with you, king, we're going to eat beans and some lentils and all this kind of stuff, vegetables, and we're going to prove to you that we're just as shiny when we get done. And they were, and probably more. Now, why? Well, there's a lot of things we could go into, but basically it's because they're denying their flesh. And so now we could also say they're not putting a lot of toxic things in there. Okay. And everybody's not going to want me to talk about that very much, but you should. So, but, you know, I mean, why in the world would you want to give up cookies and cakes and ice cream, hamburgers and pizza? Yet, if that's what sustains you, it'd be a good thing to give up right now and go another way to tell yourself that nothing is going to control you except God Almighty. This is your time to do that. Because fasting, when accomplished through the direction and enabling of the Holy Spirit, has the power to break the gripping control of our lower nature. You break the control of your lower nature. That's what you're trying to do. It doesn't get to tell you what to do. So the lower nature's not supposed to control us. So the flesh craves, and it can overpower you, and then we give into things that we need to say no to. It gets too easy to just say no. Well, I just, you know. But that's not who we're supposed to be. You know, sweets, fast foods, sex, gossip, slander, alcohol, judging. And I'm talking about wrong kind of sex. I'm not talking about... Actually, husbands and wives have in the past abstained some to go through these things. That's not abnormal either. But the point I'm trying to make is getting away from the flesh, you being out of order in your flesh.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that the marital bed is holy. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is just your flesh not being in charge all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. You'll understand. And so the flesh, the problem is the flesh can gain dominance over your mind and over your will, over your emotions. So one way to break the power of that is to bring it under the submission then of fasting. And so can I tell you this? An out-of-control temper can be fixed by fasting. Danny said, I told her that today. I said, an uncontrolled temper can be fixed by fasting. She said, what about being hangry? I said, well, hanger will leave. It'll leave because you're not letting that, you're not going to blow up. You start getting in control of yourself, you won't blow up at people. You won't get hostile toward people. When you start getting in control, you're not going to just backfire all the time. Amen. Because that's your flesh doing that. So, get the flesh out of the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to do this. I have to have this. I have to. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm Roxanne Alexander, and I approve of this message. So, okay. So, fasting then is going to feed your spirit. Now, most of you have done this for years. Deb and I, for most of the time that we've been in ministry, have shared this idea of we would always do this in January. We have a friend named Dr. Sean. Some of you have met Dr. Sean. And he had a regimen that we would go on. We'd fast for 3 days with juice. And then for 18 days, we would only eat certain food. And we would detox our bodies. And it works really well. It really helps you get so clear. Everything changes. So most of you have done stuff like that. I know you. Fasting then is gonna, it actually not just detoxes your body, but it feeds your spirit man. It helps your spirit man and it starves the natural man. I know I'm being redundant, but I'm saying it on purpose. Listen to Proverbs 23:1-3. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Can you say no? Mm-hmm. That's a good question to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're saying, well, I don't want to give that up. That's too hard. That's the thing you give up.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's controlling you. So stop that. Whatever saying, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to do this. That's what you want to deal with. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad y'all like that. So if you don't like this message, it's because your flesh is in control. All right, so now the Bible talks about crucifying our flesh, right? Mm-hmm. So as long as our fleshly carnal nature controls us, we're unable to do the will of the Holy Spirit because it's in direct opposition of his will. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get something done, but I'm wanting to go do something else, it doesn't work. And but once we're able to say no, like, now here's something you've all conquered, and you can all feel blessed about this. Everybody sitting here tonight probably worked all day, probably did whatever you had to do, but you're here.
Yeah.
Why? Because you said no to your flesh. Yeah. You say, well, I'll just stay at home. I don't know, I don't have to go to church. No, you said no. Your body, you didn't ask your body. I haven't asked my body whether I was going to church for many, many years, yeah. Obviously. But there's no, you don't ask. There's certain things that you've just stopped asking. There's things you're not going to do and things you are going to do.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's walk through this then real quick. I'm going to tell you what happens when you fast. Number one, for starters, it builds character. It's enabling you to surrender your life to God in greater measure. You get more control over your tongue, your mind, your attitude, your emotions, your body, and your fleshly desires, because your body now knows she might say no. Okay? Yeah, think of it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, you loose the chains of bondage. Now, I'm actually taking these out of Isaiah 58, okay? Loose the chains of bondage. So what's that? Break addictions. Break addictions. And so, listen, you may not be an alcoholic. You may not use tobacco. But maybe when you get in a room full of people, you have an obsessive need to be constantly talking or running everything. That's the same thing. Your flesh is doing that. You feel a need to control everyone. That's your flesh. That's a bondage. It comes in all shapes and sizes, church. So don't go, yeah, well, I've conquered that, and those people haven't. No, there's plenty to conquer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, these are the days we look straight ahead. We're all dealing with something, right? So Isaiah 58:6 says that fasting is to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. So, number three, fasting causes us to humble ourselves. Matthew 18:4-5, therefore whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. James 4:10 says, oh, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay? Church, God doesn't humble you. He's not humbling you. You have to do that. That thing of God torturing you to make you humble is not scriptural. You do the humbling. That's what Peter tells us. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you above the situation. It says due time, but the real translation is it starts right then. As soon as you say no to the enemy and humble yourself under God, things immediately start working. You get out of that. You move away from the curse. You move out of the world system, the Babylonian system, and you move into the kingdom of God. You get under God's system, and immediately God starts doing it. Right then. Right then. Because you got close enough into the proximity where he can pick you up and go with you.
Yeah.
Amen. You're within city limits.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So, we humble ourselves. It's your choice. Number four, fasting will help you find the presence of God. So, you know, too many of us are letting natural things absorb our time and energy too. And so, we need to be enjoying the realm of the spirit, and it's harder to do that, you know, when you're drunk on food or drunk on something. Maybe it's a TV show you need to quit watching. You know, if you're obsessed with a certain show, maybe you need not watch it. Maybe you need to give it up for a little while. Everybody look straight ahead. No. Or social media. There's a few people that are fasting from Facebook right now. There's different things that you're, well, that's probably pretty good. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. But, whatever it is that you indulge in, if you'll move away from that, it's going to help you hear the Lord. Talk to the Lord. He wants to say something to you. The idea, I was telling the group earlier when we had our little Holy Ghost meeting earlier, I said, I'm carrying an anointing, And I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm certainly not going to. But I have an anointing on me to do this, but I have an anointing within me. I want that anointing within me. I want to be a glory carrier. Not just when I'm preaching, not just when I'm prophesying to you. I want that anointing. I want Holy Spirit to be able to rise up in me anytime. Anytime, whatever's going on, I want Holy Spirit to be able to say, hey, over here. Or hey, look at this. Or look at that. Or I mean, and he'll start talking to you. He'll start talking. He'll just start saying stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be, he was just giving me a full load this afternoon. I'm going to be doing this. Watch what I'm going to do. You just watch what I'm going to do. I'm about to take you on the ride of your life. I mean, he's just going for it. I'm telling you, church, we're in for some good things. Number five. And I really like this one. Fasting delivers us from error. When you're making critical decisions, we need God's divine guidance when we're making critical decisions. And, we need to be sure we're not holding on to our own options. Isn't that good? So you won't make as many mistakes. You won't go out and buy that car that that salesman or what if you're making a critical medical decision? You want to make the right decision about your body. You want to make the right decision about any kind of pharmaceutical drug or something that you would put in you or anything like that. Or who you would let tamper with your body. you know what I'm saying. I shouldn't use the word tamper. Mm-hmm. I'll use the word practice. There we go. Because they have a medical practice. So or anything that you're doing, you want to make the right decision about it. Listen, we have a bunch of young people growing up. They're all about to grow up and go to school, get new jobs, and get married. It's so critical that they hear who to marry. It's so critical that they don't get unequally yoked, that they're yoked up with someone who is like them, flowing with them, headed for the right thing. It's critical. It's so important. The generations, that are coming up are critical to the Great Awakening. And so we have to do everything we can do to see that they get what they need. And I recommend that they fast as well. And I know some of them are. Danny told me that Addie was fasting. And so, that's impressive that kids don't think they're exempt. Amen. They can actually get in on that. So, The thing about error is when you're in it, you don't know it. You think you're right. Come on. Oh, I believed some stuff when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost. I came out of the Baptist church. It was good. They taught me a lot of good stuff. And then I got filled with the Holy Ghost and whoo, it was fun. But then you start, you know, looking. And I just remembered his name, Deb. I'll tell you later. GTA. And he had a bad doctrine, but I was eating it up. But did you know the Holy Ghost? Thank God I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Came in there and said, No. That's not right. That's not right. You go this way. And I believe that God can keep us in the middle of the road. We may kind of run over to the ditch sometime, but we get right back on. May get over on this way a little bit, but we come get right back on and he will keep us. And fasting will help us not be so, here's my word again, sluggish. I like to say it, sluggish. So, that we can't hear. I don't know what the Lord's saying. That's okay. Then fast. Okay. So here is John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And then there's fasting for healing. Isaiah 58:8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Here we go. So not only does it bring healing from the anointing of God, but listen, when you fast, your body can actually heal itself. You were given an immune system that will work if you declog it. If you detox, if you get stuff out of it, it's kind of like getting new filters in your truck. You got to get in there and you got to clean some stuff out, and you'll notice a clearness. Mm-hmm. It's some years ago, we already lived here, and there was a chiropractor in town who had a foot bath machine, and it when you put your feet in it, it had these little, I don't know what you call them, positive ion things, remember it? And so you could put your feet in it, and I was just feeling yucky, and I went to see him. He said, hey, try this. And so I remember driving home after I detoxed, and you should have seen the water after, because you detox through your feet. Do y'all know that? Is this too much information?
No.
Everybody's going, no, tell us what happened. I mean, it'll show you the colors of, you know, your liver and all that. Anyway, we might have to take that part out later. Okay, so I'm driving home, and 10 minutes into the drive, my head cleared up.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, this is a new world. I was so foggy and cloggy. Uh-huh. Well, fasting will do the same thing. It'll clear your old thinking and junk, not just your thinking, but your brain is getting junk. And we all know that the gut and the brain work together and all that kind of stuff. And so we do need to, your body's going to heal. Sometimes there's some stuff you need to quit eating and drinking. Y'all want one more fun fact about being toxic? Can you take it?
Yeah.
You want to know if someone's toxic? I can tell you how. Mm-hmm. Get up close to them and look right here. Mm-hmm. And if they're yellow right here or green right here, mm-hmm. they're toxic. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, just thought you might want to know. All right, y'all, look at each other. Yeah, you look pretty good. Okay. Huh? Yeah, I probably don't want to tell them about that. Okay. Deb's going deeper into getting toxic. Okay, you're going to get relief when you do that. And at first, you may not feel very good. So if you're on the fast going, I can't stand it. I feel horrible. It's making me sick. It's not making you sick. It's getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got to say these kind of things. So it's very important to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So now I want to say this to you, and I pray you'll catch me on this. It might help you with people, or maybe with yourself. You might get a picture of kind of how things go. There's this problem. People come to church and they feel the presence of God. Okay? They get in touch with the Holy Spirit. They go home and they live differently. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and they feel the presence of God. And then they go home and they don't do what they do at church. Are you with me? I'm trying to just make it real simple. Are they also don't do what they do at church. And so they're having two lives. They're at church. There's an anointing. Then they go home and they do something else. Maybe they drink. Maybe they drink enough to get a buzz. That shouldn't take too much. But that, I'll just use that as an example. That drinking is a different spirit.
Yeah.
I don't care if you get mad at me, I'm going to tell you that's the truth.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you because I've been there.
Yeah.
And even on the days when I was a drinker, when I was sober, demons bothered me.
Oh, yeah.
So what's happening is you're going and you're getting the presence of God and then another life and then the presence of God and then another life. And then so what happens is you start feeling condemned and you start at church, you're getting the fear and the reverence of the Lord, but then you start getting condemned. So then you don't want to come all the time. Mm-hmm. You understand that? Now, you don't have to just use alcohol, just anything, but that was the easiest for me to think of. Mm-hmm. So you're struggling between those two things. And so I'm just going to tell you, stop it. Here's the answer. Come every time. Get rid of condemnation. Call yourself the righteousness of God. And you'll come out of that and you'll start doing at home what you do here. Don't go beating yourself up over things and getting all guilt. Just start doing what you know to do. Start doing what's right. Mm-hmm. Instead of, I can't. Yes. Just start picking up what is right. Okay? But that's a serious situation. You can watch people. I've been in this for a long time. I've watched people be on the front row and then they haven't broken habits. And so they end up moving back until they're out of here. Mm-hmm. And then it's all because there's something that their flesh loved so much that they didn't want to give up. And, well, nobody at church is like me. I like this other crowd better because they like what my flesh likes. I'm preaching really good right now. But these people are your people. All those people may be your friends, and that's wonderful. But these people right here will help you. Whether they look like you or not, whether you're color or not, whatever it is, these people are on the same path you're on. Minister to all the other ones, and I know you do, but they're not on the same path you're on. Some of them are, maybe. Now, I'm not just talking about going to this church. I'm talking about Christians. So the best thing you can do is just push that stuff out of the way and say, I don't care. I'm going to conquer. I'm the righteousness of God, and you get enough word, and you keep going. But don't do this. Don't sit around in licentiousness for year after year. Well, grace. Grace is going to run out. It's quiet in here. But I'm telling you, after a while, habitual things are going to cost you something.
Oh, yeah.
Grace is, I don't mean literally grace will run out. I'm just talking about in that place, it ends up costing you something.
Yeah.
How do I know? Because all of us have been there. We've all been to the place where we said, no, I'll do it later, God. And just one more day. And then it ended up costing us something. Listen, here's what you do. When the Spirit says, then grace starts and you do it right then. You do it right then. When the Spirit tells you to, when He says, you can stop that right now. You can stop gossiping right now. You won't have trouble. You can stop that proud mouth right now. Then you know you can do it. You have the grace right then. But if you just go, well, another day, then that gets to be habitual and it's costly. Amen. It's not your heaven or hell.
No.
This is hell on earth.
True.
Okay. All right. I hope you got that and know what I'm talking about. It's very important because, just stay with it, church. You're going to get there. Stay with it. Just stay with God. You're going to make it. So, fast. That's one way. If you fast something for 21 days, you can break the habit. Anything. Just fast it. If you're a complainer, fast it for 21 days. I'm going to say something to you, all of you that going, well, I quit that drinking a long time ago. I can't believe anybody in here would actually be doing that. Well, I got something to tell you. Did you know that worry has the same effect on your spirit as drunk does?
Yes.
Same thing. So if you're a worrier, you're drunk. You're drunk on the lies. You're drunk on what's going on. Am I right? It's just the truth. You get drunk on your emotions and you're all messed up because, yeah. It's just the truth. So don't go pointing fingers at other people. Because all of us are growing up. All right, now, let's get finished. So, we right now, we need to walk in power and authority. Okay? Remember when Jesus went to cast the devil out of that child, that boy, and the disciples couldn't do it. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now, I want to say something to you, so get the point. He didn't cast it out by fasting and praying. It said there, this only comes out by fasting and praying. Jesus already was fasting and praying all the time. He cast it out by authority. He had the authority. Why? Because he made it a habit of fasting and praying.
Yes.
It wasn't the fact, oh Lord, I gotta cast this devil out of this young man. So I need to fast and pray for 7 days so we could get that devil out of him. That's not how it went. Jesus had a routine of putting flesh under. Well, Pastor, he didn't have to do that because he's the Son of God. Oh, yeah, he did. The Bible says he told the devil that we should not, that it's written, you will not live by bread alone. He knew what to do. He fasted. He prayed. He's the example. And he told Brother Hagin, if Jesus had to fast, why would we think we don't have to?
Oh, yeah.
If Jesus did it, we ought to do it. He's our example. Amen. So that came out. Actually, it's about your faith there. And it's about that he had the authority. You're more anointed right now after 10 days, however long we've been doing it. I don't even know. About 10 days, you're more anointed right now than you were if you've paid any attention to the Spirit. Now, if you just complained along the way every time you've not eaten, then maybe you need to go another 21. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we got to tap the power, church. We have to tap the power. And so right now, we're beginning to flow in signs and wonders like never before. Things are coming out. Things are different now. And there's an outburst of miracles. We need to have them in this house. Outburst of miracles now. And I believe that we're in a new age, and it's an age with restoration, and it's going to come by the Spirit of God, by prayer, and by an outburst of miracles. I believe that. I believe right now that if we put our faith on it, in the next 7 days, we'll all see miracles in our own lives, in this nation, in this city, in Texas. I believe we'll see some miracles. Things are happening right now. All over the place, things are changing. You're like, well, I don't see any change. See, get out of that attitude. Start looking for it.
Yeah.
Start looking for the good stuff. Be a good finder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Things are changing for people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I just see it that we're in this new place. You watch. I would stake all my words on this, that after the body of Christ fasts for 21 days together, that we're all doing right now, that you will see big change happen. Why? Because then they got the attention of God and he did it? No, God got their attention. They were able to pray. Today when we walked in here, we said hello to each other and broke out in praying.
Yeah.
What's happened to us? We've always prayed, but this was on a different level.
Oh, yeah.
We did. We stepped right over in and we almost didn't come out of it. We just kept going and kept going and kept going, and God was just giving us all this stuff. And then they tried to practice, and I kept having prophetic words, and it just kept going, because that's what the Holy Ghost does. It's going to increase.
Yeah.
It's going to do nothing but increase. So you better get yourself ready. And God is expecting you, not just me, not just those who preach around here and do what they do, but you are carrying that anointing everywhere you go, and you're going to watch people's lives change.
That is right.
And remember what I said, Jesus was operating in an authority, which he mentioned that to us this evening. He said we were going to operate in a new authority. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We can pray things that will change the United States of America. We can pray things that will change the voters. We can pray things that will change the people who are sitting in the seats. We can pray things that need to come out. We can do it. Us in here right now, we're able to do that. Those of you that are listening online, if you get close enough to God in his proximity and he picks you up and starts carrying you, you can hear the voice of God and pray it and watch things happen.
Amen.
Also, I'm going to tell you, your harvest is about to just come rolling in your door.
I'll take it.
It's about to just come rolling in your door.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're now believing, because you got junk out of the way. It's easier to believe. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yeah, God, yeah, we got this. Instead of, oh, what are we going to do? Well, now what are we going to do? How are we ever going to get the money for that? You'll have the money.
Amen.
God could set you up today that could change your life and many other people's lives forever. He could do it. He could do it. There's so many avenues for that. It's so possible.
It is.
But it's about belief and it's about lordship. If he's not your Lord, you probably don't believe it. You've got your mind on yourself and what you can do and how great you are or how great you're not. It's about half and half. Amen. Y'all know what I'm saying. All right. So the change is coming. Something very wonderful is coming. It is.
Amen.
We're doing this together. So for this church, we're doing it. For this church, we're moving forward. And the Lord's going to trust us with something wonderful. I'm going to tell you, I was just halfway asleep and the Lord spoke to me and he said, I told you, I love it when he talks to me like that. I told you that I would prosper you and that I would give you the glory and I'm going to do it. All I have to do is receive it. And here he comes rolling in. I just had to clear out the receiver. Just clear out the receiver. Well, I don't see that I need any clearing out. Well, see, that's the point. You can't see it. If you can't see it, you can't have it. And if you've had failure after failure after failure, that's why you can't see. You're living in disappointment. You just need to get up and start back over. Your hope has gotten weak. But when you clear things out and you start hearing the Spirit and you start receiving from the Spirit, you'll start getting things manifested on the earth.
Amen.
I was with a family member today and I said, remember this, it's what we learned a long time ago. It is that you need to open your mouth and hear yourself confess the truth. And you need to hear the preacher preaching all the time and you're going to get there. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're going to have what you want, what you need. Your body's going to be healed. Your life is going to change. If you just become a doer of the word. What is a doer of the word? It's someone who speaks the word. You speak the word. You speak what you hear. I'm the body of Christ. Satan has no power over me. I overcome evil with good. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. My blood pressure is at least 120 over 80. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed coming out. I declare I have a windfall of finances so I can be able to give to every good work and my household can be blessed. I have enough finances. It says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. My grandchildren are going to be blessed. They're going to have what they need. Life isn't just about me. Life isn't just about my life. This is about our children and our grandchildren. It's about our nation. And we're going to take, and we're like, well, I hope y'all all do something about it. No, it's about you. We got to get out that old sign where Uncle Sam says, right?
Yeah.
I want you. God's saying, I want you. I want you. I want you. I want you to do it. I want you to vote. I want you to really look. I want you to care enough to look and see who's on the ballot, not just go in there and check it off. I want you to pray. I want you to hear from the Holy Ghost. I want you to lay hands on the sick. I want you to prosper. I want you to receive what I have for you. Man, I can just hear someone screaming, I want to prosper, but I just can't. It never works for me. Fast. Wash that out. And do what you know to do. Your harvest is coming in. Church, we have so much harvest. We have so much. We have so much. Amen? And it's coming in. It's coming in now. Well, I don't have that many avenues. No, you have that God. You have that God. Well, I can't put another thing in a day. No, see, you have God. You have God. A lot of us can't put another thing in a day, but you have God. He can turn everything around. Just keep telling him that. Keep telling yourself that. Oh no, we got this. Now let's go turn. No, this is me. This is me. I had a lady today that I've known since she was a little bitty girl. In fact, I didn't marry her. I did the marriage ceremony for her and her husband. And yeah, it might have been, I think she was the first, they were the first couple I ever married. Mm-hmm. And she told me, she said, one day I needed a job. That's what she told me. I really needed a job. And you came up to me and you said, you have favor and you're going to get that job. She said, I got the job the next day. She said, and then I got promoted and I got promoted and I got promoted. And when I left, they said I could come back anytime I wanted to. And I'm still living on that today. Because when that favor gets in there and you believe it and you stay with it, it'll always work for you. And she believes that. She believes it to this day. She's one of our listeners. She's maybe listening right now. Hey, Deborah, if you're listening, I love you. And so, pick it up. Pick up what is yours. Pick up what is yours. It belongs to you. It's, you're wearing the blessing. You're wearing the blessing. You're not defeated. You're wearing the blessing. It belongs to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on our lives. We win. I thank you, Lord, for all of the things we're fasting for America, for Israel, for ministries, for personal breakthroughs, all of the things. And that one that says, get ready for what's coming, that we're aware of what is coming. And so when we're aware of what's coming, Lord, we are able, absolutely able to defeat and put down if we see something coming in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time in history that we're in. We call it a privilege to know and collaborate with you, Lord. We yield ourselves and our hearts to you today. We want to be changed by you, Lord. We're praying that our hearts would be softened toward you today, Lord. We thank you for that. We surrender ourselves to you and we want to be molded by you, Lord. Do all that you want to do in and through us. And we magnify and worship your name, Lord. We bow our hearts before you. We glorify and set our affections on you today, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. You have set those things in motion, Father. Let there be a release of supernatural power, calling for breakthroughs to be initiated today. Thank you for supernatural shockwaves to be released in these days. We will never be the same again, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for shockwaves to move across this nation, casting down every evil plot of the enemy in these days. We pray for breakthroughs and for victory. We pray for our enemies that they would be scattered. Every obstacle, every opposition be broken. We release the supernatural shockwaves right now. We release those things today, Father. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Standing up in the Spirit, we say, no, devil, you will not have your way. Releasing a supernatural wave of power, grace, goodness, Lord. We pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We pray for greater hunger and thirst for you. Thank you for heaven sent flow. That golden river that has come to us, that liquid gold, for a new time and a new season, speaking release over our hearts today and healing over our bodies, healing over our bodies. We pray for hearts to be open to wonderful works of God, lifting up the perfect plan of God to be released upon this nation, sending a sound of victory out over our homes, our churches, our nation. We pray for a shockwave to come across the nation, Father, releasing a detonation in the spirit realm. Thank you for it, Lord. Praying and pleading the blood of Jesus over the leadership of our nation. We expect change, and we will not get used to what we're seeing. We will not get used to what we're seeing. We expect change, and we will not get used to what we're seeing. Calling for transformation and supernatural alterations. Declaring a breaking up in our nation's capital. We command a breaking up of every work of darkness and every evil plan. Be broken up, be exposed, and come to light in Jesus' name. Thank you for a rushing in of the angels and a supernatural plan to fill the void. That's good. Yes, Lord, we lift up the nation. Have mercy on America. Praying for a supernatural reorganizing and resetting. Declaring for a shift in our government and in atmospheres. Have mercy on our land, Lord, for we will not sit back. No, devil, you will not have our land. We know that you have a plan for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
All right, let's receive our offering tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like to give, we thank you for it. You can give via text message to VCHL and the amount you want to give, 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. You can give any way you want to in the house, by check, by cash, $1 million, gold, silver, copper, whatever. We'll take it. Praise the Lord. Send it by Pony Express. We'll water your horse and send it back to you. Whatever it is that you would like to do, we are grateful. We're blessed, and we do the right things with finances. We're always doing the right things. I'm so blessed that God taught us right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, come on, brothers. Praise the Lord. Y'all receive this tonight? We're doing good. We're doing good. All right. Well, we love you guys out there. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Bye, Jesse. Bye, Cherie. Praise the Lord. So, Karina and Baby and Bobby, you notice they're not here. Baby has to stay home till the end of March. She was born a little early. They love you. They send their love to you, and so we're sending love back to them. You probably were in the picture a little while ago. But just wanted you to know the baby's doing fine, but they don't want her out in public yet. And so that's good advice, I think, because she was like, a 4-pounder or something. So she needs a little help, but she's good. So we're blessed about that. Now, I want to say something. I just want to say this to family. So we have given and given and given and given. Y'all know that. The money we just gave for the church building, all the stuff. Some of you don't know that I don't know how many ministries we give to. We got receipts. They're stacked. It's a stack. I mean, we've just given and given and given. But I want to ask you, I'm not going to ask you for funds. I'm going to ask you for faith. There's something we need to do. We got to fix this place up. We need to. And so I'm asking you, I'm not going to collect. I'm asking you to put your faith. We need to get rid of these skylights. They're leaking. And so we're looking into that right now. We need to fix that. We also want to put the same floor through the whole church. And we want to change the walls in here. And so if you will pray about it and put your faith on it, we have sown enough seed to build a church, which we will. We waited a little while in the fix-up of this, thinking we might already start building. I think we still, though, you never leave something. You always leave it in better shape, and this could possibly just be our youth center when we do. So we do want to fix it up. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we can't let it stay leaky, and we want it to look good. And so we've got new people are coming. People are coming, finances coming, miracles are coming, everything's coming. So I'm asking you to use your faith. If the Lord tells us to do it as a faith project and we do want to collect funds, we will. We're going to have some pretty floors, some pretty walls, some new stuff. We need a new computer in the back. One of those computers just barely runs. We got to fix it. And maybe we'll get the Superior brand next time. I know what y'all are thinking. I'll have a Mac on Mac, and whatever the Lord's going to lead us to do, we need to do. We're already looking at new rugs for up here and things like that. We're also looking at, they call them a fishbowl for Art. We wanted him to become a little goldfish and swim around in there. In the wintertime, the drums get louder because of the, y'all know how sound changes in the winter. And so it's a little, and I used to be a drummer, so I'm all for him beating those things. I understand. We want to hear it, don't we? Just used to be a drummer. How many of y'all were drummers? Okay, now see, you told off. You see that? See that? Okay. So, but we need to put him in a little bit more of a con, controlled sound and get him mic'd. And it's, I'm looking at about $3,500 to do that. I don't know. We're getting a bid on the roof. So I don't think the whole roof needs to be fixed, but we're looking at it. So the floors, we're talking about money. Okay. Right, Mata? So, because we want them all the same. I mean, from the minute you walk in the door, we want it to flow all the way through with the same. Won't that be pretty? Yeah. It'll be so much nicer. And eventually we'll want to do some other things. Amen. So praise God. So will you pray?
Yes.
Will you put your faith on it? Because we've sown the seed.
Yeah.
God can come up with it any way he wants to. He didn't tell me to ask you for anything, so I'm not. But I'm asking him.
Right.
Okay? Amen. We only do what God says.
Yeah.
We're not money raisers.
No.
We don't try to just raise money. We give where we know we all need to give. I'm not into that. I'm not going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all ready to stand up?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. God is good. We'll have good roof, good floors.
Amen.
We'll make art look pretty in there.
Mm-hmm.
I promise we won't leave you without being cool. He's willing. He's one of the most pliable, flexible members of this church. He does whatever we need him to do. And I'm blessed for it. All right. Anybody have anything they want to say? I'm asking you right now. Everybody good?
We're good.
Good? 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 Okay. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Father, we thank you we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen.